Morning, brothers and sisters. I think you know that I usually like to speak to a theme when I'm given an exhortation. So the theme this morning is, we shall be like him. I think there are many people today who are followers of many things, are very passionate about it. For example, the various sports that people enjoy, and they really follow their sports idols to some degree, which is only what I can think that they are idols indeed. And we have also the pop stars or the pop idols. I remember a song back in the 1960s by the Kinks. Some of you may be aware of the Kinks, but they did a song which was called Dedicated Followers of Fashion. And that is very true today as well, isn't it? So people want to copy others to be like them, for good or for ill. Now, in the book of Romans, I'll quote it to you for now. There are others we will look at. But in verse 29, it says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren." Did you notice? To conform to the image of his Son, or we shall be like him. And we'll examine this a bit more as time goes on. But there is also a warning for all of us, I think, in this day and age in which we live. And that too is in the New Testament from the first book of John, chapter 5, verse 21, where it says, "Little children, guard yourselves from idols." Otherwise, we can find that idolatry can easily work its way into our own lives and distract us from the worshipping of God and to be in that image of Christ. I was actually taken in by the reading just now of Ezekiel. Would you like to just turn to the book of Ezekiel, please, that chapter that we read just now? Ezekiel chapter 6. And some of the things you'll notice there in verse 3, for example, "And say, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains, to the hills and the ravines, and to the valleys. Indeed, I will bring a sword against you, and I will destroy your high places." According to my cross-reference here, my central column reference, it was a place for pagan worship. So they'd gone from worshipping the Lord unto the idols of the nations that were round about them. So it's, you can see how easy it is to make that exchange. But I was taken in very much by this verse in verse 9. It says, "Then those of you who escaped will remember me among the nations whom they carried captive, because," notice, "I was crushed." What a word. "I was crushed by their adulterous heart, which had departed from me, and by their eyes, which they played in harlot after their idols. They will loathe themselves for the evils which they committed in all their abominations." Even though God had stretched out his arm time and time again to them, "Return to me and I'll return to you." But it never hardly happened. That there is no doubt. And so now, as you will continue to read through Ezekiel, you will see the devastation that came upon that nation in 587 when the temple itself was destroyed by the Babylonian armies. So that's why, when we consider that, what we consider concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, where it tells us, for example, in the book of Hebrews, I'll quote it to you, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, it tells us that we are to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. The word "to look unto Jesus" actually means a turning away from those things that are behind you, turning away from it, and to look unto the Lord Jesus, the author and finisher or perfecter of faith. So it's our spiritual life that needs to take priority. And wasn't it the Apostle Paul when he says, "Follow me as I follow Christ"? So to be like Christ is not necessarily a life of ease. And sometimes, you know, sometimes we have to walk through fire, metaphorically speaking, when certain difficulties might confront us. What is difficult for one, of course, may not be difficult for another. And we do have trials and difficulties in this day and age, whether not getting along with somebody, whether in the meeting or out, it does happen. Perhaps ill health, that can cause us trials and tribulations in some way or another, thinking more of that rather than looking unto him, as I've just mentioned. But of course, these things must be confronted. So what may be difficult for one is not for another. Now, we know that a forest fire destroys indiscriminately, but an incinerator consumes completely. So this is all related to this, we shall be like him, as you will see in just a moment. If you'd like to turn to the book of Malachi, please. Chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse 1 to 3. Behold, it says, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering of in righteousness. It must have had some kind of meaning for them back then, of course, but the meaning is very applicable to us in this 21st century. Just one point here where it says concerning the purifier, for he is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. Well, we know what a launderer's soap is. It's designed for cleaning all sorts of garments. Very necessary, of course. But there's another application to this when you think about it, brothers and sisters. If you turn to Psalm 119 in verse 9, and we will come back to Malachi sometime later, but in Psalm 119, talking about cleaning, as the launderer's soap does, of course. What about the word of God in our lives? In verse 119 and verse 9, concerning a young man, it says here, I believe. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandment. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. And it goes on to speak about the statutes that God had given all of the nation of Israel. And as we saw back in Ezekiel just now, they hadn't taken any notice, really, in effect, but rather go the way of the pagan nations. But a refiner's fire purifies. It melts down the bar of silver and gold intact. So gold is like tried faith. And silver, later on read your first book of Peter, chapter 1, verse 7. But silver, the same as it tells us there, gold is like tried faith. Silver is the same, but also the price of redemption. So God is like a refiner's fire. And it's not merely words of warning to us, but a tremendous word of hope. That's marvellous, isn't it? Even though Jeremiah is spoken of as a mournful prophet, but he wasn't really. He was just showing where they had gone wrong. But the hand that was being offered to the nation of Israel, come back and things will be well for you. So that love that God has is clearly identified. He's not a God of vengeance in any way. for the hundreds of years that he allowed them to go their way, offering his hand, showing his love, wanting to draw them back. It's no different today, brothers and sisters. Because of his love for those of us who follow Christ, we make mistakes, we sin, we have foolish thoughts and ways, and yet the way is always open through the Lord Jesus Christ. So these unique properties of gold and silver have served as a benchmark of value throughout scriptures. The testing of gold, as I mentioned, is comparable with faith trials, to a point even gold eventually reacts, vaporizes or dissolves. But genuine faith will endure. Faith is supremely precious, worth all the possession required, and silver, redemption as I mentioned, recovery, which means recovery, restoration, and one notable reference is a metaphor used by the Apostle Paul. I'd like to read this along with you in the first book of Corinthians. And chapter 3. First book of Corinthians chapter 3 verses 11 to 13. Notice this. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire which tests each one's work of what sort it is. And if anyone's work which he has built on endures, it will receive a reward. Did you notice the different elements there? You've got the gold, the silver, the precious stones, wood, hay, straw. I need to personally ask the question, what am I building on? Is it gold or silver or precious stones? Because we know what can happen with wood, hay and straw. It doesn't easily withstand any heat whatsoever. And that's why I mentioned that just now, concerning the first book of Peter, chapter 1, verse 7, I'll read it to you, that the genuineness of your faith, notice, the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honour and glory at the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in that scripture that we read in Malachi just now, if you remember, concerning God being a refiner, fire and so on, let me just read this to you. It was about a group of women who were having a Bible study from Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. And as they were studying, we'll read this to you, as they were studying chapter 3, they came across a verse 3 which says, "He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver." This verse puzzled the women, and they wondered what this statement meant about the character and nature of God. One of the women offered to find out about the process of refining silver and get back to the group at their next Bible study. That week, the woman called up a silversmith and made an appointment to watch him at work. She didn't say anything about the reason for her interest in silver beyond her curiosity about the process of refining silver. As she watched the silversmith, he held a piece of silver over the fire and let it heat up. He explained that in refining silver, one needed to hold the silver in the middle of the fire where the flames were hottest, so as to burn away all the impurities. The woman thought about God holding us in such a hot spot. Then she thought again about the verse, "He sits as a refiner and purifier of silver." She asked the silversmith if it was true that he had to sit there in front of the fire the whole time the silver was being refined. The man answered that, yes. He not only had to sit there holding the silver, but he had to keep his eye on the silver The entire time it was in the fire. For if the silver was left even a moment too long in the flames, it would be destroyed. The woman was silent for a moment. Then she asked the silversmith, "How do you know when the silver is fully refined?" He smiled at her and answered, "Oh, that's the easy part, when I see my reflection in it." If today you are feeling the heat of fire, remember that God has his eye on you and will keep his hand on you and watch over you until he sees his image in you. As we come to the conclusion of this exhortation, brothers and sisters, we come to the emblems. We are reminded every time we do this of our Lord and Master, who on several occasions said to a variety of people, "Come, follow me." When we have partaken of the emblems in a moment, we will then be singing hymn 388, where it says there, "We shall be like him. Oh, how rich the promise. What greater could our Father's love prepare? Few are the words and softly are they spoken, but who shall tell the blessings hitting there?" And verse 4. "So, in the hope of bearing his bright image, rejoicing in his present gift of grace, his love shall keep our hearts in patient waiting till we in glory see his face." Brothers and sisters, shall we be like him? I'm sure we will.